A young boy in India stares at a photograph on the family altar, his body racked with cholera, doctors whispering that death is certain. His mother's voice urges him to pray to the image of Lahiri Mahasaya. Suddenly, blinding light floods the room, not metaphorically, but as real as sunlight through a window, and the disease vanishes instantly. This wasn't a dream or a comforting story told afterward. This was Mukunda Lal Ghosh's childhood, and it shattered forever the thin membrane separating the ordinary from the extraordinary. This autobiography isn't about someone who studied spirituality. It's about someone who lived inside it, the way fish live in water. From his earliest memories, Yogananda experienced a reality most people glimpse only in fleeting moments, visions of Himalayan saints, spontaneous healings, encounters with masters who appeared in two places simultaneously. What makes these accounts so compelling isn't their fantastical nature, but their matter-of-fact presentation, as if describing breakfast rather than by location. The spiritual realm wasn't something distant or theoretical. It was the primary reality, with the material world merely its shadow. Every significant moment in Yogananda's early life seemed orchestrated by invisible hands. When his beloved mother died, the grief nearly destroyed him. Yet this loss accelerated his spiritual hunger, pushing him toward the destiny she had foreseen. Years before, she had carried infant Mukunda to her guru, Lahiri Mahasaya, who prophesied that the child would become a yogi, carrying many souls to God. A mysterious sadhu had given her a silver amulet meant for her son, which appeared precisely when Yogananda needed confirmation, 14 months after her passing. His teenage attempts to run away to the Himalayas repeatedly failed. His brother Ananta discovered and thwarted each plan. These weren't obstacles, but protective redirections. The Himalayas weren't his destiny. Bringing yoga to the West was. Life often works this way. The job you didn't get, the relationship that ended, all potentially clearing space for something you couldn't yet imagine. Yogananda's encounter with Swami Pranabhananda demolished any remaining doubt about spiritual realities. Arriving to deliver a letter, the young seeker was greeted by name before introducing himself. More astonishing, the Swami demonstrated bilocation, appearing simultaneously at the Ganges while remaining in his room. The message was clear. The laws governing matter don't bind those who've transcended matter consciousness. After years of searching, Yogananda encountered Sri Yukteswar Giri in a Banaras marketplace and experienced instant recognition, the face of my thousand visions. The guru's first words acknowledged their connection across lifetimes. O my own, you have come to me. This wasn't the beginning of their relationship, but its continuation. What followed defied modern notions of gentle mentorship. Sri Yukteswar subjected his beloved disciple to rigorous discipline designed to eliminate ego and purify consciousness. When Yogananda complained about mosquitoes, the guru humorously suggested buying curtains for both of them. Otherwise, all mosquitoes will concentrate on me. The lesson addressed self-centered perspective. True teachers don't coddle, they forge. When Yogananda's lifelong dyspepsia miraculously healed after his guru simply stated, "Believe that, you shall be well and strong," it demonstrated how conviction and divine energy unite when the student is ready. The culmination came when Sri Yukteswar touched Yogananda's chest above the heart, bestowing a profound cosmic vision. Consciousness expanded beyond bodily limitations, simultaneously perceiving distant streets, viewing objects from all angles, witnessing the cosmos vibrating within his being. This experience revealed that the root of all matter is light. The master had fulfilled his promise to reveal God through direct experience. At the heart of Yogananda's teaching lies Kriya Yoga, not vague contemplation, but precise technology for consciousness transformation. Think of it as the airplane route to spiritual evolution, compared to the slower, bullet cart theological path. The technique decarbonizes blood and recharges it with oxygen, transmuting these atoms into life current that rejuvenates brain and spinal centers. The mathematics are staggering. 1,000 kriyas practiced in 8 hours equals 1,000 years of natural evolution. In 3 years, a dedicated practitioner accomplishes what nature requires a million years to produce through working directly with subtle energies. What distinguishes this from mere breathing exercises is systematic precision. Beginners practice only 14 to 28 times twice daily, gradually increasing as capacity develops. Some achieve emancipation in 6 years, others in 48, but unfinished effort carries forward, ensuring spiritual progress is never lost. Kriya frees consciousness from the five senses, redirecting energy towards subtler spiritual realities. The goal isn't better health or reduced stress, though these occur, but liberation from birth and death through direct union with divine consciousness. By presenting this ancient practice in scientific terms, Yogananda made mystical experience accessible without diluting its profound depth. Yogananda documented encounters with saints demonstrating extraordinary abilities, not as supernatural violations, but as manifestations of higher laws. The Tiger Swami fought tigers barehanded, explaining, "You look upon tigers as tigers, I know them as pussycats." He transformed his feeble body through indomitable persistency in thoughts of health and strength, demonstrating that mind is the wielder of muscles. The perfume saint produced any fragrance at will, manipulating lifetrons to rearrange vibratory structures. Giri Bala lived without food or water for 56 years, her purpose? To prove that man is spirit. Yogananda's scientific explanation centers on Einstein's mass-energy equivalence. While ordinary bodies cannot attain light velocity because their mass would become infinite, yogis who've transcended body consciousness fulfill this Einsteinian condition, their consciousness identified with the infinite, enabling them to materialize objects and move with light speed. Yet these abilities are merely byproducts of spiritual development, not its goal. As Sri Yukteswar warned, no one should attempt to fly the kite of spiritual advancement without a firm anchor line of humble virtue. The miracles serve as evidence that consciousness transcends physical limitations, not as ends in themselves. 3 months after Sri Yukteswar's death, he materialized in Yogananda's Bombay hotel room, not as a ghost, but in tangible flesh, revealing the cosmic architecture of existence. Sri Yukteswar explained that humans possess three bodies: physical, astral, and causal. After physical death, consciousness awakens in the astral world. After astral death, one cycles to the causal realm or returns to physical incarnation, depending on spiritual development. The astral cosmos, hundreds of times larger than the physical universe, consists of subtle vibrations of light and color. Inhabitants travel on planes of light faster than electricity, perceiving through an all-inclusive sixth sense, seeing through ears, hearing through eyes, tasting through skin. Their bodies, mirroring their last physical youth, heal instantly through will alone. The causal world exists at the borderline between mind and matter, where everything appears as pure consciousness. Causal beings manifest thoughts into instant reality, feasting on eternal knowledge and swimming in bliss oceans. Physical karma must be resolved before permanent astral residence becomes possible. Only when astral desires cease does a being remain in the causal world, ultimately merging with the eternal. Yogananda's mission fulfilled his Param Guru Babaji's prophecy. East and West must establish a golden middle path of activity and spirituality combined. India would share yogic science while learning material efficiency from the West. After receiving an invitation to Boston's International Congress of Religious Liberals, Yogananda overcame language barriers through divine intervention. He established headquarters on Mount Washington Estates in Los Angeles, the very building he'd seen years earlier in a Kashmir vision. He presented India's ancient wisdom accessibly, emphasizing yoga's scientific basis as consciousness transformation technology rather than exotic mysticism. His Kriya Yoga teachings highlighted practical benefits, concentration, health, emotional balance, alongside spiritual purpose. Yogananda established self-realization fellowship churches as churches of all religions, physically embodying truth is one, paths are many, revolutionary in 1920s, 40s America. His friendship with Luther Burbank exemplified East-West synthesis. Burbank practiced Kriya Yoga, acknowledging the East possesses immense hordes of knowledge which the West has scarcely begun to explore. His 1946 autobiography arrived when post-World War II civilization questioned material progress limits. His message, "True security comes from inner realization, not external achievement," resonated powerfully. This autobiography challenges our information-saturated world. You aren't a biological accident, but consciousness temporarily wearing physical form. Your deepest nature isn't thoughts or emotions, it's the awareness witnessing them. What the saints achieved, you can achieve.